Good morning, everyone. Welcome to day 45 of the Passion of Lent. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to day 45 of Lent. We are on Good Friday. And today, of course, is the Passion of Christ. So we are going to get into the meditation here. The meditation is from the book Meditations for Lent from Sophia Institute Press. They are meditations from Bishop Jacques Bossuet. And I put these up daily on YouTube and Spiritus TV and also on all the different audio podcast apps. I'm going to throw up an image on screen, nothing to look at, nothing to watch. You just listen and meditate. And we're going to get going here on the meditation on the Passion of Christ. Day 45. Good Friday. The Passion. Jesus, desiring to enrich us, first gave us his blood to purify us, so that we might be able to receive the gifts he offers. O my dear Savior, you go out to the Garden of Olives, to the house of Caiaphas, to the Praetorium of the Roman governor, and at last you climb Mount Calvary. Everywhere you go, you pour out the blood of your new covenant, the blood by which our crimes are expiated and abolished. Let us contemplate Jesus in his sorrowful passion and see the precious blood of the new alliance flow forth, the blood by which we have been redeemed. It first flows in the Garden of Olives. The robes of my Savior are pierced, and the earth is moistened by the bloody sweat of his body. O God, what is the spectacle that so bewilders us? What is, rather, this mystery that both cleanses and sanctifies us? Is not the answer that our Savior knew that our salvation was in his blood? And that from his ardent desire to save our souls, his blood burst forth. Blood which holds within itself our life much more than his own. Thus it seems that this divine blood, so desirous of flowing forth for us, overflowed by the force of his charity, before any violence had been done to him. Let us rush with faith to receive this blood. O earth, cover not this blood. Job 16:18. It is poured out for our souls. This unprecedented sweat reveals another mystery. In his desire to expiate our crimes, Jesus voluntarily abandoned himself to an infinite sorrow for all of our excesses. He saw them all, one by one, and was afflicted by them beyond measure, as if he himself had committed them, for he was charged with them before God. Yes, our iniquities poured upon him from every direction, so that he could say with David, "The torrents of iniquity troubled me." Psalm 17:5. This is why he said, "Now my soul is troubled." John 12:27. This was the cause of the inexplicable anguish that brought him to pronounce these words, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death." Matthew 26:38. The immensity of sorrow could, in fact, have dealt the death blow itself if Jesus had not restrained his soul, preserving it to endure greater evils and to drink the whole cup of his passion. He nevertheless allowed his blood to overflow in the Garden of Olives to convince us that our sins, yes, our sins alone, without the executioner's help, could have brought about his death. Can you believe that sin could have such great and evil power? If we only saw Jesus fall into the hands of the soldiers who scourged, tormented, and crucified him, we would blame his death only upon this torture. Now that we see him succumb in the Garden of Olives, where he has only our sins to persecute him, we may accuse ourselves. Let us weep, beat our breast, and tremble in the very depths of our conscience. How can we not be seized with fright, having ourselves and our very hearts so certain a cause of death? If sin alone suffice to kill God, how can mortal men survive with such a poison in their bodies? No, we exist only by a continuous miracle of mercy. The same divine power that miraculously sustained the soul of the Savior, that he might endure the whole punishment, sustain ours, that we might accomplish our penance, or at the very least, begin it. After our Savior had made his blood pour forth by the force of his afflicted charity alone, we can easily believe that he would not spare it from the cruel persecutors of his innocence. Wherever Jesus was during the course of his passion, a furious cruelty wounded him again and again. If we were to accompany him to each of the places he went, we would see the bloody tracks that marked his way. The chief priest's house, the Roman judge's tribunal, the guardhouse where Jesus was handed over to the brutal insolence of the soldiers, and all the streets of Jerusalem are stained with the divine blood that purified heaven and earth. We should never come to an end. We should attempt to consider all the cruel circumstances in which this innocent blood was shed. It suffices to say that on this day of blood and carnage, on this day at once deadly and salvific, on which the powers of hell were loosed upon Jesus Christ, he renounced his own power. While his enemies were able to do all that they wished, he voluntarily reduced himself to the condition of enduring all. By the same effect of the same divine plan, God loosened the bridle of the envious and held back all the power of his Son. While all the powers of hell were unchained, the protection of heaven was withdrawn, so that Jesus was exposed, naked and disarmed, powerless and without being able to resist, to anyone who wished to insult him. After this, need we contemplate the infinite details of his sorrow? Need we consider how he was ruthlessly handed over to lackeys and soldiers to be the object of their bloody scorn, and to suffer from their insolence every blow that their pitiless mockery and malicious cruelty could deal? Need we imagine this dear Savior allowing his body to feel the strength of these executioners, their hard scourge upon his back, the sharp spines upon his head? O divine Jesus, how much blood did it cost the God-man to win our salvation? The new covenant was not yet sealed, for his veins had not yet been emptied upon the cross. We must consider the sufferings of a man whose limbs are bruised and broken by a violent hanging, no longer even feeling his wounds, hanging from hands torn by the weight of his body, completely beaten by the loss of his blood. Amid this excessive pain, he was lifted up, it seemed, for the sole purpose of seeing the crowd of people mock him and laugh at his deplorable condition. After all this, could we be surprised if Jesus were to ask, "Is there any sorrow like my sorrow?" Lamentations 1:12. Our hearts should be made tender by this pitiable sight. We must not leave the great spectacle of Calvary with dry eyes. There is no heart so hardened that it can see human blood spilled and not be moved. But the blood of Jesus gives our hearts the grace of compunction, which is the emotion of penitence. Those who remained near his cross and watched him breathe his final bless returned home beating their breasts. Luke 23:48. Jesus Christ, dying a cruel death, and spilling his innocent blood, poured out a spirit of compunction and penitence upon the whole of Mount Calvary. We must not let our hearts be hardened. Let us make Calvary echo with the sound of our sobbing. Let us weep bitter tears for our sins and turn against ourselves with a holy anger. Let us break all our unworthy habits and leave behind our worldly lives. Let us carry in ourselves the death of Jesus Christ. And there's the meditation for today. I don't know about all of you, but Good Friday wrecks me every year. Yeah, I don't even know what to say, honestly. The part that struck me most about that meditation was in the garden, the agony in the garden. It is traditionally taught that Christ, had he not used his divine power to sustain himself, would have died right there in the garden, simply under the weight of all of our sins. You know, nothing more was required to kill him. Everything else he suffered after that, obviously he did so by his own choice because he knew it was coming, but he did so only because he allowed it. He kept himself alive to suffer all of that, but our sins alone would have killed him. So, yeah. It's one of those things, as a guy, we tend to like to do everything possible to not cry, not be seen crying, you know, things like that. Call it whatever you want. A lot of people would call it toxic masculinity, but I mean, there is something to it where guys need to be at least seen to be strong by their families. But there's something obviously very different about the passion and they say a tear. I think it was in the School of Jesus Crucified. I remember reading that a single tear shed at the thought of Christ's suffering and the passions is worth, you know, is worth all the indulgences in the world or something along those lines. So I don't know about you, but I know there will be probably multiple times today in which I lose it. But I hope you all have a blessed Good Friday. Do something today, something extra penitential. Obviously today is a day of fasting by, you know, canon law, but do something more than just that. You know, canon law now allows for one meal, a smaller collation, and like one small set snack. You know, it's frankly ridiculous how much it allows. So do something more. I mean, do something more in penance for our sins that killed Christ without any wounds. So whatever that is, do it. Pray extra today. Meditate on the passion. And yeah, I hope you all have a good day. I'll see you all again tomorrow morning for Holy Saturday. Thank you all for watching, and God bless.